I don't know about you, but on my phone, I have quite a few apps. And I counted this morning how many of the apps on my phone have something to do with a reward. I'll admit, most of them are restaurant apps. But anyway, even banks have rewards. Airline companies have rewards, and certainly even places like Walmart and Kohl's have rewards that you can build up. And so rewards mean a lot to us. And so we want to look at the greatest of the rewards. We want to read from Matthew, the fifth chapter, verses 10 to 12, where he said, I thought I had that in my notes, but anyway, I turned to it. Matthew 5, beginning in verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Here he speaks of a great reward, and that we need to rejoice and be exceedingly glad for that great reward that we have through Jesus Christ. We are a reward-motivated people. And there is something thrilling about receiving some kind of a reward. We learn even from childhood to look forward to rewards. Some rewards are earned. Others are won. And still others are acts of generosity on the parts of others. God does reward his people. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter and verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please God, please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The fact that the fact was proven over and over throughout the Old Testament, giving us confidence in the rewards he has promised to us. We've been studying the Old Testament on our Wednesday night classes, and we see the promises of God that started way back, actually in the garden, but especially with Abraham. And time and time again, he would remind the Israelite people that God has promised something. He has promised a reward. In their case, it was a land that flowed with milk and honey, that he was going to give them that land as an inheritance. And so they recognized that, or they should have recognized that, as a great reward that was out there for them. Well, we can learn from that God fulfills his promises, and he rewards his people. The fact that he rewards his people, the thing we need to understand is that the reward that he gives for us is certain. It isn't something that we might get. It's certain that we will get it if we are faithful to him. In John, the 14th chapter, the first three verses, it says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. In our text, back in Matthew 5, great is your reward in heaven. The apostle spoke of the certainty of this reward. In 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and verse 1. It says, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." And then also in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, and verse 13, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." The Apostle John wrote in 1 John, the 2nd chapter, and verse 25, "And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life." What can be greater than that? Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8, "Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." And then in Revelation, the book of Revelation, in the 2nd chapter, in writing to one of the churches of Asia, he reminds them to be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. The crown of life, that is the reward. And it is certain. You can count on it. God's reward is certain. Another thing about the great reward is that it is future. We are not to be confused with our earthly circumstances. There is no heaven on earth idea. God is more concerned with our eternal welfare than our earthly comfort. Sin has certain consequences, and we have certain blessings, but God's accounts are not settled here on earth. Seeking earthly reward risks losing eternal rewards. Consider the hypocrites of Matthew, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 18. So I'm going to read that lengthy passage. I don't have that, of course, on the screen before you. Matthew, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 18. "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men, to be seen by them. Otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues, and have the glory from men, and in the streets, that they may have the glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. But when you pray, do not use vain repetition as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard by their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Jesus talks about two kinds of rewards. Rewards that are rewards here on earth, and then the reward that he has for those who are faithful to him. We do not need to seek the rewards here on this earth, the rewards of men. They are not that important. But the rewards of God, the great rewards, they are in the future. They are not necessarily in this lifetime. I'm not suggesting that God doesn't reward us in our lifetimes. He does. But that is not the great reward that Jesus was talking about. The great reward, of course, is beyond this life. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verses 25 and 26, and this is speaking of Moses, he was choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he looked to the reward. Moses looked to the reward that was beyond Egypt. He was rewarded in Egypt by being a son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was in a good place physically at that time. But he decided that that wasn't as important as the reward that he was going to have in the Messiah that was to come. In Matthew, the 19th chapter, we have a story about a rich young man that came to Jesus. Matthew, the 19th chapter. I'm going to begin reading in verse 16 and read through verse 26. Now behold, one came and said to him, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which ones?" Jesus said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept from my youth, what do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come, follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Assuredly, I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When his disciples heard this, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." This young man that came to Jesus was looking for a reward, and Jesus was willing to give him a great reward. But he had some things that were standing in the way. He considered his earthly possessions more important than the great reward that Jesus was offering to him and to all mankind. And he went away sad because he wanted to keep his rewards here on this earth. Jesus would not have asked him to do what he did had that not been something that was standing in the way of this young man getting his great reward. So Jesus, in loving him, and one of the other gospel accounts said that Jesus looked at him and loved him. Jesus loved him, telling him that he needed to rid himself of that one thing that was standing in his way of getting the great reward, and that was his possessions. Not because the possessions were wrong, but because he was considering them the greater reward than what Jesus was offering. Another thing about the great reward is that great reward is in heaven. This is contrary to a common view in the religious world today. I don't know if any of you have been noticing, but if you've been watching some of the news on television, I've noticed that some of the denominational teachers have been advertising, at least on the channel that I watch, they've been advertising, and one of them comes on with a very awesome voice, you know, and says that he tells this story of how that it's going to happen where people are going to be caught up into heaven, and millions are going to be caught up into heaven, but millions, or maybe he says billions, are still going to be left here on this earth. They are proposing a view that is called premillennialism. And these people claim that most of the saved will be in an earthly paradise eventually. But with Jesus coming to this earth and reigning from Jerusalem for 1,000 years, this is not taught in the Bible. This is something that they have conjectured from the Bible. They have speculated from the Bible. Also, the Watchtower Society, those that call themselves Jehovah's Witnesses, are not Jehovah's Witnesses at all. They are fake witnesses. And they teach that only a few will be saved in heaven and that God is going to have a paradise here on this earth. And I'm stressing in this part of the lesson that the reward that Jesus is talking about, it's going to be in heaven. Jesus said, "Great is your reward in heaven." In John 18, in verse 36, Jesus speaking says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Also, Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1:4, he speaks of an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. There's a reservation for you and me. It's in heaven. It's not here on this earth. This earth is going to be destroyed. It's going to melt with fervent heat. The elements are going to melt. I don't want to be here on this earth when that happens. I want to be with the Lord, because that's where the great reward is. Then also the great reward is great. That may sound redundant. I suppose it is. But the reward that Jesus is talking about is great. Why is it great? It's great because it's eternal. In Romans 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Can you think of a greater gift than eternal life? I mean, we fight to survive this physical life. Most of us do anyway. And we try to prolong it as long as we can. Most of us do anyway. And rightly so, because life is precious. But eternal life is greater than this. And so we need to treat that reward of eternal life in an even better way than we do our physical life. In Matthew, the 25th chapter, in verse 46, Jesus is talking about those who are not going to have that great reward. He says, these will go away into everlasting punishment. But then he goes on to say, but the righteous into eternal life. We need to be among the righteous. Now, we can't be among the righteous on our own. The only way we can be among the righteous is if Jesus makes us righteous. And we can accomplish that through faith and accept his grace. The reward is great because we will be in God's presence. In Revelation, the 21st chapter, verses 3 and 4, says God himself will be with them and their God will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Isn't that great? Think about that. God shall wipe away every tear. There won't be any more death. No sorrow. No crying. Not even pain. The former things, the things we live with in this life now, will pass away. That's how great this is. And of course, it's great because of the alternative. For if we are not faithful to the Lord, if we do not get that reward, which we don't deserve, but he's willing to give us anyway, we've missed it all. The great reward is conditioned upon obedience and faithfulness. In Matthew 7 and 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. There is the key to it, to receiving this reward. Doing the will of the Father who is in heaven. In Hebrews, the 5th chapter, verses 8 and 9, the Hebrew writer writes, though he was a son, speaking of Christ, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. There's the conditions. He's became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. The question is, have you obeyed him? Have I obeyed him? We need to make sure that we are obedient to our Lord, because the reward is worth it all. If we do not get that reward, we've missed it all. Our purpose here on this earth is to please God, to do his will, and to bring glory to him. Perhaps you have not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. If that is the case, we want to help you do that. If you have obeyed the will of the Lord and you've wandered away from the Lord, we want to help you in that also. If you have a need, a spiritual need that we can pray with you about or that we can study with you about, we would be glad to do that. And you can make that desire known by coming forward while together we stand and sing the song that's been announced.